Bring your books? Did you bring your books? Yeah. So take it, and we're still talking about 10 laws of loyalty. Amen. And so far we've just shared 2 points. The first one and the second one. The first one is that the leader must first be loyal to his subordinates or his followers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then the second point is that loyalty is the key to expansion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, loyalty is the key to expansion. Then number three is where we're going today. And that point, Sheila, you didn't bring your book. Okay, can you lend Sheila a book so that she can buy it after? Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Okay. So, right. So, are you with me?
Yes.
Number three is that loyalty breeds loyalty. Loyalty breeds loyalty. Amen. Now, that point simply means that when you're a loyal person, you generate loyalty around you. Amen. That you stir up loyalty around you when you yourself are a loyal person. Amen. Now, there are various people that we should be loyal to. The first one is God, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have to be loyal and faithful to God. We have to think of God as someone who is watching us and who is counting on us to be faithful. Amen. When you are faithful in your relationship towards God, you stir up faithfulness in other people's relationships towards you. Hallelujah. Then the next one is loyalty to your church. Amen. That you must be faithful to your church. Amen. Your church must be able to depend on you. What do you think? Your church must be able to rely on you. Your church must be able to trust that they can count on you to do what you're supposed to do. What do you think? Yeah. Then the next one is loyalty to your spouse. Wow. What a shock. Okay. So loyalty to your spouse is another important area that you have to be faithful to your spouse. Hallelujah. Then the last one is loyalty to your friends, isn't it? That you have to be faithful also to your friends. Now, what we are saying is that if you're loyal to all these people, you begin to stir up around you a spirit of loyalty towards you yourself. Hallelujah. Towards you yourself. When people around you see and sense that you are faithful, they also tend to be faithful towards you because it's a spiritual thing. Hallelujah. And people learn it as they are around you. They learn how to behave from looking at how you behave. Amen. And a good example is given us here about David. David the king set a good example by not destroying. Let's read it. I'm reading the third point. I'm reading from the part that says, okay, there's a verse. Just look at it. First 26. You see it right there. Then Abishai said to David, deliver thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not a second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. Hallelujah. So look at this example of David, who is with his friends. He is with his people who are very conscious and very aware that that Saul wants to kill David. Okay. Do you understand? Because when you have a group of friends, your friends tend to know who your enemy is. Is it not true? Yeah. When you have a group of friends, your friends tend to know who is at loggerheads with you. Your friends tend to know who you are not flowing with. Is it not true? And so often their advice to you is based on their knowledge of the absence of a flow. Do you understand? So let's say you have a parking spot, and then your neighbor or your friend who is not flowing with you has gone to put their car there. You see, now you may not see it yourself, but your friends who know that you don't flow with such a such, when they see the car in the place, they come to you and say, hey, you won't believe what car is parked at your spot. Are you getting what I'm saying? So David was in a similar situation where his enemy, who has been chasing him and chasing him for over a long period, has gone to rest in. Then one of his buddies saw the enemy and came to David and said, hey, today the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hands. Do you understand? Then the person, you just give me permission. You don't have to settle. You just leave it with me. I'll sort it out. You get, much like our friends. Yeah, sometimes your friend can tell you that, look, just leave it with me. I'll sort her out for you. Amen. All of us have friends. Everybody, yesterday somebody was saying something to my wife about, what did she say? That everybody has a cantankerous person in their family. A crazy person in their family, yeah. Yeah. So she was talking to somebody and explaining to the person how a certain person cannot go to a certain place. I have to say certain. So you just try to understand. But not go to a place because there are people there who are ready to fight the person or something like that. So then the other person on the phone said that, tell that person they should also go there with some crazy people from their family. Do you understand the story? Yeah, I think the part you need to understand is this craziness versus craziness. So the person was saying that, look, they should also look for the craziest people in her family and arrive at the place person so that the craziness would craziness squarely. You see, and then the person said that because everybody has a crazy person in their family. Is it not true? Can you not think of some crazy person in your family? I think it, for some people you are the crazy person yourself. You are the main crazy person in the family who handles all these crazy issues. Hallelujah. Amen. So we all have people like that in our lives and our friends. And so somebody told David that, look, you just leave. It says, then Abishai. You see, 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 8. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him. Leave it to me, my friend. You get it? Leave the smiting. He said, the Lord delivered thine enemy in thy hand, but let me do the smiting. Do you understand? Now, therefore, let me pray the Pastor Manera, I think you should change the thing. It's disturbing. It says, now therefore, he, where is it? David, it says, yeah, now therefore, let me, thank you, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once. He said, I will not smite him a second time, just once. The thing will finish. Yeah. So you have a friend who comes and says, look, leave it to me, I'll sort her out. Yes. One time. If she hears just two words from me, she'll never, just two words from me. Yeah. You see your friends telling you and staring you on and telling you, you see, it's you they can do such things to. Yeah. See, as I'm sharing that, you see, even something is arising inside you. Yeah. It's you they can say such things to. Yeah. And sometimes the person even wants a chance at the fight. You get it? So the fight is between you and her. And then you are not reacting and responding, you see. So the person comes to you and says, it's you she can say such a thing to. Yeah. She's saying it to you, or he's saying it to you in her presence to give her a chance to direct the battle this way. Well, you are deciding to keep quiet. That's why you are hearing such nonsense. Yeah. But I will not stand for such nonsense. If they like, they should bring it to me. They should bring it to me and see. Yeah. And of course... Yeah. If she has enough pride in her, then she will direct the battle over and you will see how the fight just quickly catches fire. Hallelujah. Amen. But when you have such a situation, you can show your loyalty in how you respond. Do you understand? So look at David. He says, this Abishai said that, just give me one chance and I'll sort the issue out. Then David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hands against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. Do you understand? The next verse, verse 11. It says, the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. Do you understand? But I pray thee, take thou the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water and let us go. I mean, the guys couldn't believe it. That David has a beautiful chance to fight like this and he doesn't want to fight. But they learned the lesson. Do you see? David took the opportunity to teach a very important lesson, that we do not smite the Lord's anointed. We don't do such things to people that God has anointed. We don't touch God's anointed. Hallelujah. Yesterday I had a conversation with a certain pastor, and he was telling me about certain people who have rebelled against a certain pastor many years ago. You know, and he said to me that, look, there is not even one person you can name who has rebelled against this one person who is doing well. He said, if you like, name them and I'll tell you where they are. And I knew that person many years ago, so I started mentioning some of the names. And when I mentioned this person, then he would say, oh, this man, his wife left him in this place. He went to jail. Then I'll mention another one. Said that one, this and that happened to him, and he's gone to this place. Then I mentioned another one. And as I went down the list, every single one of them, you know, and then he concluded our conversation yesterday with this verse, you know. So as I'm sharing, I just remember that verse. He said to me yesterday that, listen, when the Bible says you should not touch the Lord's anointed, it's no joke. Don't touch a man of God, someone that God has placed his hand on, and says, I'm going to use, don't touch him. Just leave him alone for God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the people didn't know that. So when they saw the example with David, Later on, David himself misbehaved. You see, and did something that gave these same people a chance, you know, to handle him a certain way. And obviously, the lesson he had taught them worked, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So when you read on, it says, many years later, David himself made a mistake. He murdered one of his own soldiers called Uriah. David could have lost his life through that mistake. Many of his leaders would have revolted against him or assassinated him. However, this did not happen. The men were loyal to the king's authority. They refused to kill the Lord's anointed because they had learnt it by example many years earlier. They had learnt not to kill fathers. Hallelujah. So the people had been taught by David from that example that even when the person makes a mistake, it is not your place to correct an anointed person. Can I have an amen? It is not your place to correct someone that God is going to use. And David said, look, his day will come to die. Or the Lord will kill him one day. Or he may go to war and something will happen to him. So whatever is going to happen to him will happen to him anyway. But the Lord forbid that I should be the one who initiates it. Are you getting the idea? Yeah. That I don't want to be the one who initiates such a thing. Just leave him in the hands of God and God will take care of him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many people do not believe that when you say somebody is a man of God, it means he's in the hands of God. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It means you can't, when you touch the man of God, you have come really close to God. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Just like if you touch KK's handbag. Let's try it. Because as KK is sitting here, her handbag is not over there. Are you getting the picture? Her handbag is not over there. The handbag that is over there is also sitting very close to the person who owns it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you say someone is a man of God, you have to be careful when you start to go near it, because I tell you that when people are sitting, their handbag has a, it's like you see some of these people who come to church, their handbag has a special chair. They put the handbag right next to them. And any hand that approaches the handbag, they start to see not the handbag, but the hand. Is it not true? When your hand starts to approach the handbag, the person looks not at the bag, they look at the hand that is coming. And sometimes they don't know what it's, whatever, they don't really care about what is in the bag that is attracting the hand. Do you understand? That perhaps if they did something about what is in the hand, the bag, the hand would move away. But they don't, that's not what we do. We go straight for the hand that is trying to touch the bag. And we leave the bag alone. Sometimes the bag is displaying some money. Instead of pushing it back, we leave it there. It's like, leave it as it is. Do you understand? Just you don't touch it. And that was the lesson that David was teaching his people. That he's a man of God. He may have made a mistake, whatever. But just leave him alone for God. God will take care of him. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
And so when people hear such teachings and things coming from you, you have an opportunity to quarrel with somebody. You see, and your friends have gathered and they are ready to quarrel for you if you just say, start. Do you understand? Yeah. You have an opportunity to teach them. Do you understand? You have an opportunity to tell them, a Christian does not behave that way. You have an opportunity to show them, no, don't do that. This is not a fight we must fight. Leave it to the Lord. Or let's forget about this thing. This thing is not so important. Do you understand? When you do that, you disarm those same people against you. Because in the day that they have a problem with you, they know that you are not going to pick up the fight. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when you are loyal yourself, you breed loyalty around you. people around you begin to copy your behavior and they start to do the same. Say amen. Amen. Which brings us to the next point, which is similar to this one, and that is that disloyalty, on the other hand, also breeds what? Disloyalty. Hallelujah. That disloyalty, the next point, number four, is that disloyalty breeds disloyalty also in people. Amen. And when you are disloyal, you also naturally stir up disloyalty against you. And a good example over here is this man called Obadiah in 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 3 says, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water, unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Hallelujah. So here is Ahab, who was a king, and he himself had turned against God. He was put there by God, but now because of the person he married, whose name was Jezebel, you know, he had a whole new set of gods he had introduced into the kingdom, you know, and had turned his heart away from God. He had become disloyal and unfaithful to God. Do you understand? So his disloyalty begins to breed around him also disloyalty. Do you understand? So this man, Obadiah, is supposed to be working for him. Now you just imagine. He's working for him and he's actually working against him. Because he set out, he said he was trying to kill all the prophets of God in the land. Then his own servant has gone to collect a handful of those prophets and hidden them in his own house and is using his own money to feed them when there is no food. Hallelujah. You can see that he sends the servants out. He said, go to every brook, go to every river, go to every place, and let's find some water and some grass so we can save the animals. It was a time of famine. There was a shortage of food. There was nothing. And then the shortage of food, and there was nothing to eat. This servant is working in his house and has gone to collect the little food that we have and is feeding it secretly to his enemies. So as he's trying to end and to finish all the prophets in the land, his own servant is growing them, making sure that the prophets don't finish in the land. Hallelujah. That is how it is. So when you also tend to be this unfaithful, you will tend to stir up unfaithfulness around you. Hallelujah. If you like to gossip about people and talk about people with your friends, what you do is you teach them how to talk about you also when you are not around. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's how come you yourself can be suspicious of them, because you know what you do with them. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So when you are disloyal, you stir up, you know, you're with people right here, you know, then one person gets up and steps up. Then the conversation just turns quickly and you start to talk about the person. Do you understand? Yeah. Now, when you talk about that person with those people, the people you did it with, they begin not to trust you. Do you see? So when you also are not around, they start to talk about it. And when you come in, even you get suspicious because you know what they are capable of, because you know what you've taught them. Is it not true? Yeah? So you see that you can't trust your friends. You can't trust anybody around you because you know how it is. You know how you talk when with them about other people when they are not around. Do you get it? And so you see that you can't trust those same people with what they say when you are not around. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it says here, the second paragraph after the verse, this is a very common occurrence. There are many people who work closely with their superiors but do not believe in them. They undermine them all the time. How can a person be so close yet so disloyal? Can you believe that Ahab's money was being used to finance the very thing that he hated? This happens when there are disloyal people in important positions. Hallelujah. So it is very, very important. Be careful that you do not breed disloyalty around you. Amen. Amen. Be careful that you do not breed disloyalty around you by sowing it as a seed yourself. Hallelujah. Right. Next point, because I'm trying to go through very quickly today. Read the book. Amen. Amen. Number 5, loyalty has a single eye. Amen. When a person is loyal, they have a single eye. Isn't it? You cannot have, when you are loyal, you choose one thing and you say, this is it. Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that there are no other things to look at. It just means that you have chosen out of the things to look at, you have chosen this one. And then you stay focused with it and you work with it and you flow with it. Hallelujah. So when you are loyal to God, you choose God. And that's, I'm going to worship God and then that is it. Not God a little and then fetish a little. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see, there are people who come to church and they claim to be Christians, claim to believe in God, but they believe in other things also. Do you see? They believe in other things also. Recently, somebody was telling me that someone in her church was mentioning the name of some God. What was the name of some God somewhere? Say Antoine something. There's a God somewhere in Ghana, in the middle of Ghana. That God, he's not everywhere. It's a local God. But there's Antoine something. Antoine what? Nyama. Antoine Nyama. It's a God in Ghana. Yeah. Local domestic God. You get it? And the person in the church was telling this person that, I think they had some issue or something like that, there was some argument and so on. It said, very simple. Let's go to Antoine Nyama. Right there, from the choir, from the area fellowship. After church, they are going to Antoine Nyama to settle the issue once and for all. Yeah. Hallelujah. But I'll just encourage you, do not serve a God that you have to take transport to go and see. If you are going to choose a God, choose one who can be everywhere. Otherwise, serving that God becomes very expensive. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So if you're a Christian, you can't be a Christian and you believe in juju. Do you know juju? Yeah. Shegun, do you know juju? What do they have in Nigeria? What do they call it? Different names. Which one is in your tribe? Ogun. Chichi, do you have Ogun? Yeah. Romy, what do they have in Ivory Coast? What do they have over there? Vayua. Bayua. Bayua. So I'm talking about a type of something that people go to for solutions. Genie of the water. It's called Balua. Bayua. Yeah. Every place has them. Every place has them, I tell you. And you see people in church threatening other church members with these type of gods and these type of places. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when you are a Christian and you are loyal to God, you have a single eye. You just look up to God. Amen. You have faith in God and you leave things in the hand of God. Amen. And you trust God. Like David. David said, look, let's leave the matter in the hands of God. Let's not take matters into our own hands. That's where we start to make a mistake. Just leave it in the hands of God. And God will take care of the situation. Can I have an amen? Amen. So when you are loyal, you have a single eye. When you are loyal to your spouse, you have a single eye. Do you see what I'm saying? You will find out that your spouse is not the only beautiful person in the world. Yeah. How can God make just one beautiful person for you alone? Do you see what I'm saying? So as you move around, you will see that, yeah, yours is beautiful, fine. But there are other beautiful ones also. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you may even find out that there may be other people who are more beautiful. Yeah. But when you are loyal, you have a single eye. You say that this is the one I have chosen. And this is the one I will be with. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And you accept what you have chosen as it is. That is how it is. With its faults and everything, you accept it. Knowing that there is no other one without a fault anyway. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. One day I was in a certain place and I was preaching. I asked a certain brother. I asked him, do you have a car? He said, yes. Then I asked the brother sitting next to him, do you also have a car? He said, yes. I asked him, do you have brake problems? Have you ever been to the garage for brake issues before? He said, yes. I asked this guy, have you been to the garage for brake issues before? He said, yes. I asked him, have you been to the garage for battery issues before? He said, yes. Then I asked him, have you been to the garage for battery issues before? He also said, yes. Then I asked him, what car do you drive? He said, Toyota Camry. I asked him, what car do you drive? He said, Volkswagen Passat. So I said to him, do you realize that no matter what the name of the car is, you will have some type of problem with it? That's exactly what it is. Do you understand? So you may say, I don't like this one because I'm having this problem. Then you go and choose this one. You see that the same thing. This is the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing. The problems you have them because of what you are doing. It's because of what you have. It's because you have a car that you have car problems. If you want to get rid of car problems, just don't have a car. You can ask the people who don't have cars, they don't have car problems. Is it not true? Sheila, do you have a car? You don't. Do you have any car problems? Have you fixed brakes before? No. Isn't it? Yeah. She has never fixed brakes. What, have you bought car battery before? Do you know the price of the gas? Do you know where? You know. Does he even care? Akwesi, do you know the price of gas? What is it? 420 something. Uh-huh. Because he has a problem. He has a car. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So nowhere cool. Tell somebody nowhere cool. One day I was having a problem with my wife.
Then I went to call my friend in London. And I called. I said, you will not believe what is going on in this house. You know, and I said to him, you should come and see how she's behaving. You come, you just come and see what she's saying. I mean, I can't believe it. You know, then my friend said on the other, Charlie, cool it, Charlie. No, we're cool. No, we're cool. Because it turned out that when I called him, he was also having a serious problem at the time. So as I was shouting on the other end of my phone, as though he didn't want his wife to hear me, you know, he started to say, Charlie, cool down, Charlie. No, we're cool. No, we're cool. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So you choose. You have a single eye. When someone is faithful, it doesn't mean that they haven't seen a more beautiful person before. It doesn't mean that they have not been offended before. Do you see what I'm saying? When you join a church, you have to have a single eye. To have a single eye for a church means that you choose. You say, this is my church. And then you are in it. Will you be offended in the church? Yes. Will people gossip about you? Yes. What do you think their mouths are for? Yes, they will pray. Yes, they will sing praise and worship. But when it's all over, they will start to talk. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Not just here. But you change a church also. And you see that just when you go to the church, just check. Do the people have mouths? If they have mouths, don't join it. It's got same problem. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Same problem. But when you are faithful and you are loyal, you say, this is my church. This is my church. Because in every place that God gives you, you have both pleasant times, isn't it? And you also have times when you are not happy. That's why there's crying in every house. Is it not true? Yeah. Even grown-ups who live alone, you see that they have crying moments. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are moments of laughter, and then there are times when we are also just not so happy. But you just stay. How can you rent a new apartment every time you are crying in it? Anytime you are not happy, you feel sad, you just move apartments. You go downstairs to the leasing place. You say, I was crying yesterday upstairs, so give me another apartment. No, no, no. You have a single eye. Hallelujah. You can't belong to two churches. You choose your church and you help to build it. Amen. Amen. And you work through the challenges. You work through the difficulties. You have issues sometimes with people, but you work through them and you continue. Can I have an amen? Amen. You have worked through them and you continue and you continue and persist until we win in the end. Say amen. Hallelujah. Then the next point, very quickly. Loyalty demands the right attitude. Number six. Loyalty demands a right attitude. It says there are some attitudes that do not lead to loyalty. One of them is suspicion, isn't it? A suspicious person cannot be a loyal person. He says, if you suspect me of wrongdoing, how can you be loyal to me? If you suspect there is a snake in the room, how can you relax in your chair? Is it not true? When people are suspicious about churches and pastors, it is often because of so many different things they have heard, so many different stories. That is the reason why we often cannot even settle in a church. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you're going to be loyal, you're going to have to trust. Can I have an amen? You're going to have to trust. If you have questions, if you are in this church and you have questions, come and ask them. Amen. Amen. Ask anybody any question you have about the church. Amen. Amen. Ask any question and you'll be given an answer if we know it. And if we don't, we'll find an answer and tell you. Can I have an amen? Amen. But you must not be suspicious. You can't be blessed by someone you are suspicious of. Do you see what I'm saying? Just because you had a bad experience in another church doesn't mean that you will have a bad experience here too. What do you think? Yeah. You shouldn't be confused. You shouldn't have two minds about the church you are in. Hallelujah. Amen. You must trust and believe. Hallelujah. Right. Let me share this verse with you. Ezekiel chapter 34. In fact, let me read a little passage from the book. It says, I've seen many confused people in my lifetime. I once had a rebellious pastor who went around saying bad things about me. He told many people that I was a thief. He made people think that our church was a cult. The people who heard him speak became confused. I could see the confusion all over their faces. One day I called two of these confused members and told them, these are the facts of the matter. Decide for yourself. Do not be confused. However, if you are confused, I think it will be better for you to go away to a church where you have full trust. In the process of time, their confusion vanished and they became stable and loyal members. Hallelujah. Today we laugh about the days when they were confused, right? But look at this fantastic verse, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 18 and 19. It says, Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Hallelujah. God is angry at sheep that drank from the waters, but afterwards they fouled it up so that no one else could drink from it. Amen. So this is addressing the issue of suspicion that causes people to talk negatively about the church in a way that makes it difficult for other people to join it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the same church that has been a blessing to you, after that you turn around and you wee-wee into the church. In fact, God is the one who is using that language. Look at it. He said, go to verse 18. Ezekiel 34, verse 18. He says, seemeth it a small thing. Is it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures. And you have drunk, or to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. You know, do you have one of those versions that, you know, is not seemeth? Yeah. You see, because this is such an important and direct issue, we shouldn't cloud it with seemeth at all. You get it? You should understand this clearly, that God is against sheep who benefit from a pasture and then they foul the pasture so other sheep cannot eat that same pasture. Are you getting it? Which is a very common thing in churches, that people who have been blessed by a church, people who have been blessed by a pastor, people who have come to the church, they've been blessed by the church, their Christian lives have been held together, they have been sustained, they've been prayed for, they've been blessed. Then something happens in the church, then they turn around, they are leaving the church. But before they leave, they turn around and they unzip their clothes and then they just wee-wee straight into the church, into the pasture. Then they walk away. So all of a sudden, other sheep who were around, who were enjoying the pasture, they start to smell all kinds of things. And they also say, no, we can't eat this pasture anymore. We cannot drink, we want living waters. Are you getting it? It says, is it a slight thing? Is it too slight a thing for you that you should feed in the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures, or that you should drink of the clear waters. See, when you were drinking it, it was clear waters. Do you see? That you must foul the rest with your feet is not a slight thing. God doesn't take it as a slight thing. Can I have an amen? Amen. So when you go to a church and the church is a blessing to you, even for one day, for that one blessing you got in that place, you must refrain from fouling that water. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Because other people are also coming to drink that same water. Is it not the case? Other people are also going to drink that same water. And the water is to quench their thirst. And the pasture is to satisfy their hunger. And you should not foul the waters so that others cannot belong. How can you go to a church for 5 years, then after that you say it's a cult? So for 5 years, you yourself was a cult member. The worst ones are the pastors or leaders. Then it means you were a cult leader too. Isn't that what it is? And you must be arrested. Can I have an amen? So you need to understand that. You need to understand that God does not want you to foul the waters. Amen. And we do that by talking, and our talking creates suspicion, and it makes it difficult. You see, people start to wonder, you know, and you raise questions on the minds of people, and they begin to get suspicious of the church and suspicious of the pastor. Once you are suspicious of a church, suspicious of a pastor, you cannot relax in it. Is it not the case? You cannot settle. You cannot be committed. You can't pay your tithe when you are suspicious. Do you understand? Somebody told you that I have another family somewhere. See, I live where? Which way? Maybe this way. Then they tell you that I have another family in San Francisco. Do you see what I'm saying? They said, that is why. So when I stand up and say, those of you who have your tithe, please come to the front. Say, uh-huh. He wants to feed the other family. All the way to San Francisco, that's where our tithe is going. San Francisco is very expensive, isn't it? Yeah. Hallelujah. When you belong to a church, you must believe in it. Amen. That is why when you go to our website as a church, we've put so much information there. We've put even photos of buildings that we are putting up in different countries. And we have put photos over there and what it has cost us so far. We put all those things on the website, on the internet, just to remove that suspicion and allow us to do our work as pastors. Can I have an amen? Because you can't lead people if they don't trust you. You get it? When you say sit down, they'll start to wonder, what's your motive? Why do you want me to sit down? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we need to get rid of the suspicion. Tell your neighbor, you need to get rid of the suspicion. Tell your neighbor, you can't belong to the church and be suspicious of it. And tell the person, by the way, are you the type who is unzipping and fouling the waters? Hallelujah. Amen. Don't say bad things about your church. Hallelujah. Don't say. It says you have drunk of the deep waters and you are fouling the rest. It's not a good thing. Amen. Next point for today is loyalty does not join or create factions. Loyalty does not join or create factions. You know? Now, it is true that there are differences among people in every place. Do you get it? But however, there are some people who seem to have an eye for these differences. They seem to notice them, talk about them, and make something big out of these differences. You see, now, factions in a church will always destroy the church. Hallelujah. Factions and groupings in a church will always destroy the church. One of the ways that the devil spoils churches is just to create factions. Just create a group out of anything. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And they are natural, because you see, if you want to spoil something, for example, if you want to rip my jacket, you see, it will be harder to rip the jacket in a place that has no seam. Do you get it? Any place where there is a seam, there is also a weakness. That means two things that were not originally together are being joined together. Do you understand? But for the same reason also, it is those two things you can pull apart. You get it? So when we gather like this, the devil knows that the easiest way to divide people is to go for the seams. To go for the places where there is not a natural joining. Do you think you understand what I'm sharing with you? Where there is not a natural joining. That is why there's often a lot of quarrel between a husband and a wife, because they are not natural joining. Do you understand? Whereas a brother and a sister can be there for so many years. They also quarrel, but you see the bond is always there. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So you see that among a church, or in a big church, where people are coming together from different nations, from different tribes, even from the same nation, different tribes, different people, there is a tendency for factions to develop. Yeah. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
And when factions are in a church, they scatter the church. You see some people grouping themselves. They say, we are the people from so and so. We are the Ghanaians. Or we are the Cameroonians. Or we are the ones who speak French. You get it? So maybe Chloe and Romy, they'll see Sheila coming. Sheila doesn't look like someone who speaks French, does she? She doesn't, right? Yeah. KK just confirmed it. Hallelujah. So you see that, so you see a French group forming. Do you understand? And then the next thing you know, Chichi and Shegun, they also say, look, we are the Nigerians. Oil people. We are the giants of Africa. Then the Ghanaians also say, well, if the giants have gathered, we are the star of Africa. We also are starting to gather. So you begin to see that the people start to gather even among the nations, and we cannot mix. That is a strategy the devil uses to keep churches very small. Do you understand? And I tell you that when you are an enemy, if your opponent is small, it's always an advantage for you. Is it not true?
Yeah.
When your opponent is small, it's always an advantage for you. So the devil's main effort is to keep churches small. That's why he likes to divide, chop the churches into small, small pieces. Always. As the church begins to grow, just before it can be strong enough to do something, just chop off some part of it. Let it start again. So you see many churches ever growing, always a baby, ever growing, ever. As the church grows up to be strong enough to take on the enemy in a certain way, then he comes and just chop it to pieces. Let's divide this into about three or four. Do you see? Yeah. One day somebody was telling us a story about a church that started here on the West Coast, in this area, big church. Said it was a large church. Then it's divided. Then it divided. Then it divided. Then it divided. Till now we don't even have it anymore, isn't it? None of the pieces is around anymore. You see, I think there's only one of them that's still alive somewhere. Hallelujah. So we need to beware of factions. We need to be aware of grouping. We need to learn to accept people and learn to accept that people are different, but we can still stay together. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that people are different, but they can still stay together. And when different people stay together, they are rather fruitful.
Yeah.
Do you understand? See, like a man and a woman, they are different, but when they stay together, they make babies. That is it. Fruitfulness. And the fruitfulness, the babies come from the difference, not from the sameness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that where the fruitfulness comes from? It doesn't come from the sameness. Are you getting it? Yeah. So we need to understand. We are blessed to have a church where you can have someone is from somewhere, someone is from somewhere, someone is from another place. You get it? And you must learn to just see people. Do you get it? You must learn to see people. Not this one, he's from here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, that this person is from here. Or she is from here. And there are some of us who value where we come from more than the blood of Jesus that brought us here in the first place. Is it not true? Yeah. You find it easier to call her your brother or sister because she comes from your hometown than that she was washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it is the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us brothers and sisters, not our hometown. And the division never ends. When we follow you to your country, you see that once we arrive at the airport, then you say, I don't know, you are also from here, and I'm also from here. So someone says, you are from north, you are from south. It's only when we leave the country that we are brothers. When we arrive in the country, you are a northerner, I'm a southerner. Then when the northerners arrive in the north, they say, thank you, we have come together, but now you are from here, and I'm from here. And the division just goes on and on and on and on and on. And many times we're not able to benefit even from the people that God brings into our lives just because of a certain consciousness of the differences. Do you understand? Yeah. Some people were counting money somewhere. They were counting money, like church money. And I think somebody was stealing some of the offering. You get it? And one person who can see that the money is being stolen, she won't say it because she comes from my hometown. Do you get it? Say she comes from my hometown. She's stealing God's money and bringing a curse upon herself. But because she comes from my hometown, I will not say it. Because that the person comes from my hometown is more important. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So what about the people who don't come from Ghana? What should they do? What should Pastor Munene do? What should Monique do? What should KK do? These two people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What should they do? Those who can't speak a certain language. You see sometimes in the church, the divisions are coming from the language we speak. Do you understand? You come to the church and as for me, I've got to speak my somebody said my dialect. I have to speak my dialect. Hey. So it is true that as a church grows, you see that people from us, all of us, because all of us are immigrants, really. So as the church grows, you will see that there's more of your kind around, because everybody gives birth to fruit after their kind. Are you getting what I'm saying? But it's a church. It's not an association. Do you understand? It's different from the, what's the name of the association? It's different from what? In Kabom. Is that the name of an association? Yeah. This is not in Kabom. You're wondering. Yes, we hear new things in the church all the time. So, hallelujah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's a church. It's a Christian family. We have brothers and sisters in the church. And everyone in the church is important. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we all need to speak a language that everybody can understand. What do you think? Because how would you feel when we are talking and then Kwame and I are talking and then as KK is approaching, then we change the language and we start to speak something and we start to smile in a certain way. Yeah. Will you be surprised if she doesn't come again?
No.
Yeah. And if I were her, I wouldn't come again. Because I want to go to a place where I'm included. Where I feel like I'm important. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That when they say they should bring food to church, someone is even thinking about me.
Yeah.
That I can't eat hot pepper. Do you get it? Yeah. But you see, sometimes when they bring food to church, you see some people cannot eat. Nobody thought about them at all. Because everybody was thinking about the red tongue people. Hot pepper. Eish. You taste the thing, it's like a bomb. Just that. You need to call the fire department. Do you understand? But there are some people, like Pastor Munene, he can't eat pepper. Do you understand? He can't eat pepper. So when you are cooking and you're cooking in an international church, you must make, because you need to make the one with the bomb. That's premium. Do you understand? No, that we have bland, then we have mild, then we have from mild you go to what? Hot, isn't it? Then from hot you go to premium. Then from premium you go to volcano. Then from volcano you go to acid. That's top. You don't try that without a first aid box. Are you getting it? But you make some, and somebody must think about the person who doesn't also, who cannot handle that. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So when you are loyal, you do not create a faction. And when you see that a faction has been created, you don't join it. Do you understand? You don't join it. You say, Friends of KK International. No. Are you getting it? Yeah. You see that Sheila has a problem with Akwesi. Then it becomes friends of Sheila against friends of Akwesi. So what should I also do? Pastor of Sheila against pastor's wife of Akwesi. Are you getting it? Don't divide the church. Don't spoil the church. Amen.
Amen.
Has this church been a blessing to you?
Yes.
Is it a source of encouragement to you?
Yes.
Is it a source of inspiration to you?
Yes.
Think about it. You wake up on Sunday morning even to have a place to go to hear the word of God. It's a blessing. I said it's a blessing.
Yes.
See, and that's for a blessing. You don't know how much your life depends on it until it's taken away. Isn't it?
Yeah.
When your apartment complex comes to announce to you that they will turn the taps off between 10 and 12 today. Just those 2 hours, you see the inconvenience. You start to see that you can't do anything. And that's when you begin to see how many things you've taken for granted. And if a church like this exists here and it's a blessing to you, you must not pick it apart by generating factions along any line. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We shouldn't create factions, educated people. You know, one of the accusations people have against our church, they say our church is full of educated people. Is it a problem? People say that educated people go to our church. So they are trying to create a faction. One day somebody said, if you are not educated, they will not make you a pastor in the church. Shegun. Can you imagine that? And they say all kinds of things like that. Some people say it's rich people. Say, as for that one, when they say, I say amen. If you like, say that one. Yeah. They say it's a rich people. They say that church, all the people are rich. They are rich people. Say amen. We are rich people by the grace of God. Hallelujah. But these are all things that are said just to divide us and to spoil a good thing that the Lord is doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, our time is up, but let me just throw in this last one before we close. Loyalty, the root of disloyalty is pride. Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. Okay, then number 8, that was number 8. Number 9, still on number 8, some of the symptoms of pride, 7 symptoms of pride. You can see it there. Number 1 is what? Answering back. Number 2, rudeness. Number 3, refusing to come when you are called. Number 4, feeling indispensable, like the church cannot work without you. Isn't it? Yeah. When some you're offended, okay, today I will not go and lead the praise and worship, so they will see something. Right? Oh, you be turning, singing, you be singing, and then you turn off the microphone so they can see that. That your voice is important. Hey. Yeah. Okay. Then mocking and laughing at leaders is another sign of pride. Then another one is feeling that I'm as good as my senior. And the last one is constant criticism. These are all signs of pride, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is only when you feel proud that you criticize, because you feel that you know better. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's proud people who criticize. Number 9, loyalty is an integral part of your character. Okay? Which means that loyalty runs through a person's character. And when someone is faithful towards God, when someone is faithful towards their friends, that same person is faithful towards their spouse, because it's a character trait, something that is in you, it's in your spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? So you need to watch out for people who pretend that they are not faithful towards this person, but they are faithful towards you. It's not true. Do you understand? They either have it or they don't, isn't it? Yeah, you see, if you say, you take someone who speaks softly. That's how he is. So he speaks softly regardless of who he's talking to. Do you understand? On the other hand, when you find someone who is loud when they talk, they are loud when they talk regardless of who they are talking to. Do you see what I'm saying? And faithfulness is like that. So when someone is faithful towards God, they are also faithful towards their friends. And when you marry such a person, they are also faithful. Do you understand? When you find someone who will not say certain things, who is careful what they say about God, they are often very careful what they say about their spouse, and also very careful what they say about their friends, what they say about their church. They are just generally careful with their words. Hallelujah. So that is the reason why it's important for us to cultivate it. When you have it, it's going to work itself into all your relationships and all the different areas of your life. And then the last point is that loyalty, the last point for today, familiarity breeds disloyalty. Amen. We'll talk about that next time when we meet. Amen. Are you blessed this morning? So that's, we just went through very quickly that chapter, and we'll talk about that last point and another chapter when we meet next time. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Tell your neighbor, I think it is because of you that the pastor was preaching the way he's preaching today. Yeah. You see, Sheila is angry with Akwesi for coming to report her. Hallelujah. But just bow your heads with me. Everybody just bow your heads very quickly and let's pray. Just pray to the Lord and say, Lord, make me a faithful person, please. Please make me a faithful person, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray and think about some of the points that we mentioned. Maybe you are one of those whose speeches and statements and comments about the church has caused others to lose faith in the church while you are still in the church. See, that's the painful thing, that those people are turned away while you are still around, you know. And you need to repent of that and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for anyone that I have turned away. Pray that God will give you a single eye. Pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to have a single eye to focus on what you have given me. Whether it's a beloved or a spouse that God has given you, even a job that God has given you, that you'll be faithful. You'll be faithful to the people that God has placed in your life. Pray that God will help you to develop loyalty as a part of your character, that it will be part of your person. You will be like that, that you are a loyal person and everyone knows it. Everyone around you knows that they can trust you, they can count on you, that my secrets are safe with you, that their secrets are safe with you, their stories are safe with you, in the name of Jesus. Just pray that God will deliver you from pride, the pride that causes people to answer back, the pride that lurks behind rudeness, the pride that makes people say, I will not come when they are called. Or when they are called, they may not say it with their mouth that I will not come, but they reluctantly come or will be quiet and will not respond. It's all pride. And pray that God will deliver you from that. There's some of us who are good at mocking and laughing at other people. We laugh at other people when they fail, when they don't do well. We laugh at them. We mock them in our heads. We laugh at them when they are around us. They feel silly and stupid because of our looks and because of our comments. But pray that God will deliver you from that. God will deliver you from having an eye that criticizes, that only sees wrong things about people, wrong things about things that God is doing. Pray that God will give you an eye that can see beauty in the things He has surrounded your life with. Just pray, everybody, just pray right now in the name of Jesus, that God will give you a single eye in the name of Jesus. Give me a single eye, Lord, and help me, O God, to be loyal, and help me to be faithful in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Instead of being an instrument for stirring up more strife, instead of being the kind of person who says to the others, leave the fight with me, give me a chance to go and address the person for you, be the one who cools down the fires, who quenches those who are ready to fight. Those who are ready to take on a fight, be that one who says, don't fight, it's not worth it. Don't do it. If you're fighting for me, then give it up. It's about me, so give it up. I am the one saying give it up. I'm leaving the matter, so you have no business taking on this fight. Blessed are the peacemakers, the Bible says, for they shall be called the sons of God. I pray that God will turn us all into faithful and loyal people this afternoon, in the name of Jesus. As we close the service this afternoon, maybe you're here, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You said, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a child of God. Raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today who wants to give your life to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart and forgive my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. But especially today, Lord, I pray for a spirit of loyalty to be upon me. I want to be loyal to you. I want to be loyal to my church. I want to be loyal to my friends. I want to be loyal to my loved ones. Give me the spirit of loyalty. Let it be part of my character. Let me not be the one that brings division and creates factions in the church. Deliver me from that. I don't want to spoil your work, Lord. I don't want to destroy the work of God. I don't want to sow that seed for my own life to be destroyed. Help me, Jesus, to be a builder of your church, to be a supporter of your work in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. You may be seated. We want to receive our tithes and offerings today. We want to receive our